Amen, amen, amen. So glad to have with us Pastor Tony Suarez from Johnson City, Tennessee. He just arrived. Let me tell you how bad he wanted to be here. He just arrived this morning around 1:30, 2 a.m., flew in all the way from Trinidad to be with us. We're so thankful that he's here with us. How many of you love Pastor Tony Suarez? Amen. He's going to be here today, going to be here next week as well. Invite some guests to be with you today. God is good. Pastor Tony, come on up. Let's give him a good Life Church welcome. Amen. He's part of the family here. Amen.
Well, clap your hands unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Feels like Pentecost up in this place right now. Amen. Mercy. Y'all stirred something up here. I'm going to tell you, 9 a.m. wasn't doing all this. Makes me think about a song I just heard. I don't know who wrote the song, but I heard a song that says, I'm about to do something Pentecostal, so you might not want to be sitting close to me. That might be true in this service this morning. My goodness, amen. What a beautiful spirit of the Lord is here today. I'm so glad to be back with you. And I did fly back. We had a wonderful 3 days in the nation island of Trinidad. And I've always called it Trinidad Tobago. And an 11-year-old prophet in the making over there said, man of God, it's not Tobago, it's Tobago. So I had a wonderful time at Trinidad Tobago. And there's something God, there's a very special visitation of God that's coming to the island. I've always respected the island, but didn't know much about it. But I felt the Lord speak to me 2 years ago that he's going to do something very special, that there's a blessing even in the soil, that they're going to find minerals that they didn't even know are there, that they don't have to go out to find their riches, but they're going to dig and they're going to find riches that come out of the ground. And so I felt from the Lord. It's strange because I can't ever say that there's been another nation that I felt this kind of a connection to. But this was my first visit there. We had a great meeting. We met with several pastors from the area. I think 200 in total that we had that came together. And so next year we're going to have a nationwide crusade. We're believing the Lord for thousands to gather and for God to do great things. We're looking at a cricket stadium. Number one, I've never been in a cricket stadium, but now I've been in a cricket stadium, and we're just believing that God's going to do great things there. And so I came from there. Landed at 1:30 in the morning, flew through Miami, just minding my own business, not doing anything. There's a Cuban restaurant in the Miami airport that I like eating at. My dad used to take me there when we were younger, so I like to reminisce and go there, La Carreta. And so I was say that three times, and you get the Holy Ghost today. And so, La Carreta, La Carreta. And so I was going to go eat at La Carreta, and I got detained in immigration for over an hour. Me, the whitest Hispanic in America, got detained. Took my passport from me, sat me in a room. People are getting arrested, and I don't know what I did, and no one would tell me. I'm just sitting there. You should have seen how spiritual I was last. We should have had revival last night. I'm gonna tell you what, the dead could have come back to life the way I was praying in there. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what's going on. An hour, and then they said Anthony Suarez, and I stood up. Door number 9. Well, I don't know. Like, is that the door? Like, am I being deported? I mean, I was born here, but like, I don't know what door number 9 is. Like, what happens there? They came back my passport, and I said, what just happened? And they said, no, tranquilo, esta cosa sucede. You know, they just assume you're Cuban, right? So they're just going off of me in Spanish. I'm like, and I'm nervous to speak Spanish because, like, again, I don't know why I was detained. So I'm like trying to use my Tennessee talk. I'm like, why do yins have me back here right now? What y'all think I've done? No, tranquilo, esta cosa sucede. And translation, these things happen. I'm like, yes, but I'd like to know what things happened that occurred that would cause me to have to sit back here for an hour and be closer to God than I've ever been in my life. I still don't have an answer. So anyhow, that's my story, and got here. So I'm very glad to be in America today. And I didn't even go to the Cuban restaurant because I was nervous. What if they? So I went to McDonald's. Amen. I'm gonna get me a good old American Big Mac. You're not gonna catch me eating yuca right now. I'm gonna get me some French fries and a Big Mac so that you know I belong here. Amen. So I'm here, and it's a wonderful day. My oldest, my stepson, Mylon, it's his birthday. It's my youngest birthday, and then I heard it's Miss Lauren's birthday as well. Happy birthday to you as well. It's a great day to have a birthday. Amen. And I'm thankful for every one of you that is here. And I'm going to make mention of something that God did in the Philippines just a few months ago in my sermon. But I don't want to, I want to thank you for what you have done for Ima's Home. Now, we support Ima's Home as a ministry, as, you know, an evangelistic ministry. And we've done somewhere, the dollars don't matter, but we've invested heavily, but you've invested so much more. And I want you to know how important what you do is for world missions. And I want to thank you. And when I was there, these children, it's about 160 kids that, you know, Jim Kilgore and others have, I mean, they've saved them off of the street. It's not just that they were orphaned, they were abandoned. Some of them were chained, and talking about children as young as 5 and 6 that were sex trafficked. And Pastor Jim, God put it on his heart to save these kids. And I told him, you talk about one of the best examples of the gospel that I've ever seen. That Pastor Jim, he found them at their worst. And not only have they given them a place to rest, but a place of healing. And they're enjoying. I've been to many orphanages and children's homes around the world. I've never seen anyone like Pastor Jim's, like Ima's Home. When they turn 16, they get cell phones, they get laptops. He's helping to pay for them to go into college now. They now have their first group that's going into college. They're graduating as professionals. Amen. And none of that is possible without Life Church, Mechanicsville, Virginia. You don't know. When you get to heaven, there's a scripture. I wish, you know what, I'm going to find it anyhow. I'm going to take my time in this service. Let me find this scripture. Maybe this Bible has it. I don't know. Let me see. It's somewhere in Corinthians. I think this Bible has Corinthians. My Bible's falling apart, so that sounds so spiritual. I'd say too much. Where's my script? If I don't find it quick enough, I'm just going to paraphrase, but I don't want to paraphrase wrong. Where is it? It's in there about the giving. Where is it there in Corinthians about the giving? Lord, here it is, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, verse 13, as a result of your, this is 2 Corinthians 9:13. This is actually very important, so I'm going to slow down. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, the people that you give towards, the people that you minister to through your giving. As a result of your ministry is that of giving, okay? As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God for your generosity to them and to the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given you. You have little children in the Philippines that pray for you, that thank God for you. And you are under a blessing because of prayer partners you didn't even know that you had. But you gave, and because you gave, Life Church has been able to literally change the life. I mean, actually, I know people use the word literally too much, but you have actually, truly, literally changed their life. We met children that were chained in their house, chained like dogs, forced to perform the most heinous acts. And because of your giving, they were able to be saved from the chains. And now they live in a beautiful home in the Philippines and they serve the Lord. They're water baptized. They're full of the Spirit. They're going to school. And they're at the top of their class. Pastor Jim said they have a problem at the local school because the kids from Ima's Home are at the top of their class. They're doing better. Other people that came from a better situation. But see, that's what happens when you add the anointing to a situation. And that's because of you. And there's children that are laying in dormitories at Ima's Home right now saying, thank you, Jesus, that someone gave so I could be here. You have people that are praying for you. And when you get to heaven, you know, we always left that song, that, you know, there was an old song that's very popular. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm a life that was changed. You see why I preach and don't sing anymore? We always relegated that song to preachers. But when you get to heaven, it's very possible you're going to feel a little tug on your robe. And a little kid, a little girl is going to say, hi, my name is Karina. You don't know me, but I lived at Ima's home. Because you gave, I was able to go to Ima's home. And I just want you to know that even though we never met on the earth, I'm a life that was changed because of you. That's the kind of impact that you're having around the world. That really is the impact that you're having. And so Pastor Jim is just, they're just great. And Pastor Nancy, they're just wonderful people of God. But I was very impressed when I was there. All the girls were bragging about Auntie Robin. They love you. So thank you for what you've done, for sending your pastors, for the missions teams that have gone, and the ones that are going. And the last thing I think I would add to that, I didn't know I was going to give a missions deal today, but I'm stirred up right now. When you go, there's these beautiful young ladies and these handsome young men, and I noticed, this is just my opinion, unsolicited opinion for the missions teams that are going, but you see everyone just kind of like attracted over to, you know, to the girls and, you know, wanting to love on those young ladies, but you have boys there that have never had maternal love. They've never had affection. They've never had an auntie or a grandmother or a mother to hug them and embrace them and say, I love you. You mean something to me. And I just want to encourage you when you go there to split your time and make sure that those boys feel some love. They need words of affirmation. The words of affirmation that come from a motherly. I hope I'm helping, but I just want to encourage you. And I don't know what all the protocol is to be able to go on one of those missions trips, so I don't want to stir anything up. But if you're able to go, I really want to encourage you to go. And if you're able to, I'd take some of your young people with you because it gives us perspective. We might not have everything we want in this life, but we have 99% more than what most of the world has. And one thing I know is when you come home, you'll come home grateful. You say, I might not have it all, but Lord, thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for how you've blessed me. So I really want to encourage you. And also, the last thing, man, I'm stirred up. I want to call some retired Sunday school teachers out of retirement. Because they need to know the story of Jonah and the whale and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't just need to be taught how to play a piano or snap pick. They need those life skills. But somebody needs to tell them about Moses and the bulrush. Somebody needs to tell them these stories that are so commonplace to us. But someone needs to spend time and enrich them. And so I just really want to encourage you with that today. Amen. I hope that wasn't too much. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? I want to go to the book of John chapter 14. And as you're standing, our ministry, our evangelistic ministry exists. We travel from church to church, but we also have ministry partners. And 7 years ago, we had no ministry partners. And then COVID, did what it did. And so now today, by the grace of God, we're very thankful. We have just a little over 4,200 ministry partners all around the United States and around the world, and I get to meet them in different places. And I have this group that I affectionately call the North Carolina delegation, because pretty much anywhere I go on the East Coast, they show up. And I'm here just worshiping, and I was doing that good old Pentecostal worship. You know what I'm talking about? The one where you worship with one eye open? And I looked, and there was Sister Carla Clevenger, who drove all the way from Dunn, North Carolina, to be in the service. And so I'm thankful for a ministry partner that would come all the way to be in service with us today. And the rest of that North Carolina delegation is coming next week. And I'm just so thankful for ministry partners that help us to be able to do what we're doing. Amen. The book of John chapter 14, that might be the longest introduction I've ever had to a sermon, by the way. John chapter 14, and I'm reading in verse 16. Amen. And if someone's out there judging, why aren't you home with your children on their birthday? Because none of my children are home. They're all spread out. One's in California. One's, I don't even know where they all are. And they all left on Father's Day. How about that? They all left on Father's Day. What? Could you imagine if youth camps started on Mother's Day? Yeah, it doesn't even cross your mind. But everybody decided to start their summer honors program in their youth camps. Zachary went to California. Mikael doesn't start college till the fall, but she's already in the dorms there. She's like, well, Dad, it's summer honors. I'm like, well, my God. So Gene and I went to New York for a few days, and then I went to Trinidad. So here I am. You didn't need all that information, but you have it anyway. So Book of John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Another translation says, a comforter, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word, and I ask that you would use me today for your glory. Let everything I say and everything we do be for the exaltation and the glory of the name of the Lord. I pray that you would move in a mighty way and confirm this message with signs, miracles, and wonders, that when we leave this house, we'll say, surely we've been in the presence of the Lord. And I ask it in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I am impartially, some of this is inspired by all my kids walking out on me on Father's Day. I'm not bitter, though. It's okay. We're good. Nobody's going to get a birthday present this year, but that's all right. I am a very, very nostalgic person. I am an old soul. 45 on the outside and 84 on the inside. I like old music. I like old books. I like old things. I like going to Europe and looking at old structures. I get a kick out of going to something considered an antiquity in the United States and then going to Europe and they're like, that's only a few hundred years old. This one's thousands of years old. Like, wow, that's cool. Like pick. And so in that, I fancy myself a little bit of a collector. Gina would call me a hoarder. I have a lot of weird stuff. I've collected a bunch of weird stuff. I have collections of Happy Meal toys that I did not keep from my childhood. I went on eBay and rebought them. Hallelujah. I'm that guy that you've been bidding against for those chicken nugget toys that came out in the 80s. I have a collection of Jimmy Swaggart VHS cassettes. He's fighting for his life in a hospital right now in Louisiana. I met his grandson a few years ago, Gabriel Swaggart, and I was talking to Gabe. I said, Gabe, I bought all your granddad's VHSs that are on eBay. And his countenance changed. He said, that was you? I said, what do you mean? He's like, man, I've been trying to get all of granddad's videos, and there's somebody always outbidding me. I like to memorialize things. Like I keep things, you know, I got things that I keep from, you know, Gene make fun of me. I got stuff from our first date. I got a little box. I got stuff from there. And I got, you know, I take screenshots of text messages in case AT&T ever decides to, and I'm not keeping the receipts. Okay. So I don't want you to think I'm doing that. I'm keeping sweet memories. All right. And so, and then I'll do things like, for example, maybe this is why immigration detained me. Back when I was a little more politically active and went to the White House a few times, I'm gonna be honest with you, I came out with napkins from the White House. I may or may not have some cutlery. I have the name card that was left on the table. I got the menu from what they served that day. A few years ago, Pastor Sam Rodriguez and I were in Puerto Rico at the governor's palace. There had just been a hurricane, and he and I were there doing some relief work, and they had these beautiful leather coasters everywhere for the cups. I'm like, well, man, they got a lot of them. One coaster. I didn't take two, just took one, but... you went to the Holy Land, and you know you're not supposed to take dirt, but like I want that more than I need a statue of the manger. You know, like I want dirt because there's a chance he may have walked on this dirt. And so I come home, I got dirt in my pockets. I'm a strange, complex person. My wife sometimes just lets me know, you're very interesting. I said, I know. And I collect coffee mugs. I have 211 coffee mugs in my house. Now, Gina has really slowed down the collection because when she first met me, it was like at 157. That thing should have been destined to double at that point, but she's really slowed it down. But I get a Starbucks mug from every country that I go to. Trinidad was sold out, but I really want to go back, but I'm really scared right now to leave this country. So we'll figure it out somehow. But when Gina, when we were trying to figure out if we could bring our families together 7 years ago, if we could blend this thing, I had a had like a party at the house and invited all the family over, and Gina came and she brought her two kids, and all of us got together, and this is her first time she walks in the house. And in those days, my kitchen, the backsplash was coffee mugs. I had Starbucks coffee mugs was the backsplash of the chicken, of the chicken. God help me wake up right now. Of the kitchen. Where ironically, I believe I served chicken that day. And so we had coffee mugs everywhere, and they were up the shelves. And Gina walks in, and she looks at me, and she said, how important are those mugs to you? I said, it's a non-negotiable. They go anywhere I go. Said, I'm not leaving my mugs. And so my mugs did come with me to Tennessee in this marriage. They're no longer in the kitchen. They're on a wall that no one can see. But they're all there. I like to collect things. I'm nostalgic. And now that my kids are growing up, I got things of them. I got their baby pictures all over my screensavers. And they're everywhere I look to me. They're still my little babies. And I still call them my babies. And I go preach places. I say, I got to get home to my babies. And people are expecting that I got little, you know, strollers waiting, and that they don't realize that they're 21, 20, 18, 17, and 15 now. I'm just my baby. I'm very nostalgic. And the issue with nostalgia is that it's beautiful as long as you keep it beautiful. But the trap of nostalgia is that you get trapped in what was. And rather than live in the reality of what is or where you are today, you're stuck in what used to happen and what used to be. And I bring all of that up because I find that as I go from church to church and I travel and come amongst people, I find people that are trapped in what it used to look like. And what it used to be like. We're trapped in styles of worship or trapped in styles of the way that we used to sing, or we're trapped in how God used to do. And this is an important message for me right now because we just came out of Pentecost Sunday and we're in the season, I still call it the season of Pentecost. I'm believing that we're in the season of a summer harvest. But when it comes to the move of God, I hear many people that memorialize what God used to do, as if he used to do miracles. He used to move. We used to have revival. We used to have a touch of God. Oh, you should have seen what it used to be like. And the only issue is that he never said that he is just the God of yesterday. He's the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. Therefore, if he ever did it, he can still do it today. And so I've encountered people that think that miracles are just the byproduct of yesteryear. That it was a different era. People when they hear about tent revivals and they say, well, it was just different then. Just people had more faith back then. Well, I say that we need to stir up the faith again. For his word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm not interested in building God a museum of what he used to do. I don't want to build a museum and a storybook of how God used to touch, used to deliver, used to set free. I don't want to keep having to say about how it used to be good. And oh, God used to do this at youth camp. And oh, we used to do that. I want to be a part of what God is doing right now. And I come to remind you that the Holy Ghost is an ever living present help in the time of trouble. We're not celebrating what he did. We're celebrating what he's still doing on the earth today. We're celebrating not a history lesson, but an experience that you and I get to live out every single day. For the upper room was not the finish line of the working of the Spirit. It was the starting line for the church. Hallelujah. And in a world, amen, in a world where so much is ever changing, where so many things are changing all around us, there's one thing that I can celebrate that is still the same, and it is that the Holy Ghost is still here. It is still amongst us. It's still dwelling upon us and in us and through us. And I'm so thankful. Amen. I've been changing my language lately. I've been changing the way I talk because, you know, us Spirit-filled people, we come out of a good service and say, Holy Ghost showed up. Man, we had a visitation of the Lord. It's his house.
Are you telling me he has to come visit his own house? No, we need a revelation. He doesn't come to just visit us. He abides in us, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't want to just give you a touch. He wants to remain in us. Hallelujah. I want you to know the Holy Ghost is here right now. The Holy Ghost is in this room. The Holy Ghost is in your marriage. It's in your money. It's in your children. It's the Holy Ghost is here right now. Amen. On the airplane, a few weeks ago, I was watching, I guess you can call it a documentary. It was about one of Elvis's concerts in Hawaii. And I mean, people are going nuts. These girls are just flopping their head all over. It looks like they're manifesting right there. And I mean, they're crying. I mean, they call us crazy. We don't even do all that stuff, you know. And I mean, they're going crazy and they're throwing things. And He's left the stage, but just the fact that they're in the same room with him, I mean, they're going crazy. And then the announcer comes and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has left the building." And just like that, all the emotion just is zapped out of the room. Let me tell you what's never going to happen. You're never going to hear an announcement from heaven. "Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Ghost has left you." That will never happen, because he said in his word, "Behold, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you." I want a lonely person to know today, the Holy Ghost is with you. I want someone that was abandoned by a bad spouse, the Holy Ghost is with you. I want a child that doesn't know their daddy to know today, to know the Holy Ghost is with you. I want someone to know that's lived through trauma and abuse and all kinds of hell on earth, the Holy Ghost is with you. The Holy Ghost will comfort you. The Holy Ghost will heal you. And I also equally want that person to know that's never been through any trauma and never been through any bad thing in your life, I want you to know it's because the Holy Ghost was with you, and you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God. Hallelujah. This is an equal opportunity praise meeting today. I remember getting up at a youth revival. I was preaching. I was about 19, 20 years old, one of my first youth rallies. And I got up there. I mean, I've been raised in church all my life, you know. But I get up there. I start calling things out. I said, "If he's delivered you from drugs, give God praise right now. I need someone to dance, because you're no longer a drunkard and you're no longer a gangbang." And, you know, and here come, I mean, you know, Chicago. I mean, here they come. And they're doing, and then this preacher who was more, he was more Christian than I could, if you will. He gets up and he said, "Excuse me, Brother Suarez, let me add to that." He said, "I appreciate the praises of the ones that have come out of that. But I want to look for some people that never smoked a cigarette and never drank any alcohol and never had to live through hell and never had to go through things, because that shows that the Holy Ghost protected you. And just like they're dancing, you ought to dance as well, because God's been good to you. Whether you've been through hell on earth or whether you've been through heaven on earth, I want you to know that you're here today because of the present help of the Holy Ghost, and he's worthy to be praised today, because he made a way where there seemed to be no way. He protected you. He shielded you. He lifted you up. He brought you out of the miry clay. There's some of you that shouldn't be alive today, but the Holy Ghost made a way, and I think you ought to stop right now and give God praise for the Holy Ghost. Someone needs that word today. The Holy Ghost hasn't left you. The Holy Ghost hasn't abandoned you. I know it feels like everything's falling apart, but you're still here because the Holy Ghost is holding on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I love being Pentecostal. I love being Spirit-filled. I love being a tongue talker. I love it all. And I gladly identify. My pronouns are Pentecostal. Pentecostal, apostolic, charismatic, word of faith, weird, whatever you want to call me. I like all those labels. But I've been embracing a new label lately. I want to be considered full gospel. I like it. Because I want everything that the Father is serving up on the banquet table. I'm not coming to the table of blessing like a snob and saying, "I'll take some of that. Give me the money and the joy, but leave the holiness. I don't need that. I don't need that." I want everything that God is serving up. I want every good and perfect gift. I want every blessing. I want every correction. I want every admonition. I want to be full gospel. I want to be Pentecostal, and I want to be prosperity. I want to be orthodox, and I also want to be free. I want to be holy. I want it all. And a full gospel believer embraces not just the manger and the cross, but also embraces the upper room. We do a good job celebrating his birth. We do a good job celebrating his death and his resurrection. But let me remind you respectfully that he was born, he did die, and he did come back to life again. But when we get to talking about the Holy Spirit, you can't ever relegate the Holy Spirit to past tense verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. For he is a present help in the time of trouble. The Holy Ghost didn't come in you one day and give you a certificate and that's it. He abides in you. He lives in you. He remains in you. And he's working in you even right now. Even when you can't see him, he's working. And that promise of Pentecost, that beautiful promise, is that he would not leave us comfortless. This is more than just the fulfillment of a calendar date. We're celebrating that he is alive amongst us, that Jesus promised that he would not leave us. He would send the Comforter, not to visit occasionally, but to abide. That's my new favorite word, abide. He sent the Holy Spirit to abide in us. And aren't you thankful he didn't send a substitute? He didn't send a surrogate, but that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. Jesus said, I have to go. He said, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm coming back to you. I'm going to send one. The Father's going to send one. It's the Comforter. And you'll know him because you lived amongst him. But now he'll live in you. Jesus was letting him know it's the same Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm coming to you. Hallelujah. I've come to you in this manifestation, but now I'm coming to you through the power of the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to live on the inside of you, and you'll recognize me. I'm not sending someone else. I'm not sending an angel. I'm coming. It's my own Spirit, and I will dwell with you, and I will remain in you. And this is an important message for Pentecostals. Okay? Because we have relegated the Holy Ghost to emotions and emotional responses. But the Holy Ghost doesn't just come and go based on emotion. Ooh, I felt it today. Well, even when you don't feel it, he's there. I didn't feel like praising. We got in an argument. Well, he was there when you were arguing, and he's there when you're driving home today as well. He is not an emotion-based God. It's not just when you feel the tickle. It's not just when you feel the shaka move. It's at your loneliest moment when you feel like no one's listening and no one's there. The Holy Ghost is present. He doesn't just come and go based on emotion or atmosphere. I have to be in the right atmosphere. They didn't sing my song today. They sing my song. Then I get my praise flags out and I take my glory glitter and just. We have made it so emotion and atmosphere driven that we think the Holy Spirit is just that. But I want you to know that he abides with you in the storm, in the silence, in the sorrow, and yes, in the shout. And I'm thankful for the shout. Make sure that you don't misunderstand my sermon. Tony Suarez did not change his mind. He's still as Pentecostal as I've ever been, and I'm still in the deep end of the charismatic pool. I like it when it gets real weird. Hallelujah. The more that fall, the happier I am. I still like it when someone sneaks in a shofar. I mean, I like it. But we have relegated him to the shout and forgot that he's present in the silence. when nothing, when it seems like nothing is going on, that's usually when he's doing his very best work. I believe somewhere I read in scripture, stand still and know that I am. Hallelujah. Stand still and know that I am God. Sometimes he moves in silence. He moves in sorrow. He moves in the storm. And yes, he moves in the shout. Hallelujah. And aren't you? You said, but how could that be? Because he's always there. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't abandon you. The Bible says that you are the temple, not the tent of the Holy Ghost. He didn't come to just camp out for a few days, check on you and see. This isn't like grandma who flew in from Arizona to give you a $50 check on your birthday and she's leaving in 4 days. When the Holy Ghost filled you, he made plans to stay until the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know how I made it through the loss of my father? The Holy Ghost was with me. How did I lose my first wife and still make it? The Holy Ghost was with me. How did I raise 3 children? The Holy Ghost was with me. How do I make it with 5 teenagers in the house? The Holy Ghost. You know what sustained me yesterday in the scare of my life? The Holy Ghost. I'm sitting in there on my little bench trying to figure out how I ended up in this episode of Law and Order. And I'm fretting and I'm frantic. And I'm doing everything you're not supposed to do according to the YouTube videos. Wait for them to ask me for my ID. What is your reasonable, articulable suspicion or doubt? Anyways, some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm over there fidgeting, and then I'm like, wait a second. Holy Spirit, I need you now. Now, I'm not telling you that the Holy Ghost went and whacked some ICE agent in the head, and all of a sudden, I'm just telling you what he did for me. You know what happened? There was a peace that came over me. There was fear, but there was a peace that passes all understanding. I'm normally not that peaceful in those kind of a situations. Normally, I'd have gotten up and I would have talked like I was in an auction, and I would have tried to understand, and I would have said all kinds of stuff. But there was just a peace that came over me because the Holy Ghost was with me. You don't go anywhere without the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you ever go anywhere. Stop walking into board meetings without the Holy Ghost. Stop walking into marriages without the Holy Ghost. Stop making lifelong decisions and commitments and buying things without the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't do anything without saying, Holy Spirit, what do you think? Because you're the temple, not the tent of the Holy Ghost. You are his permanent home. Hallelujah. That means you don't have to run to a church building to find him. He's on the inside. You just have to, bring it to life. Romans 8 and 26 says this is that the Spirit helps you when you don't know what to pray for. When you don't know how to move forward, the Holy Ghost does. One of the things I'm learning the older my kids get is, my God, I'm just having like a confessional today. I'm learning, Sister Lindsay, that I can't make all their decisions for them. And that's really difficult for me because I really like being in charge. It's just easier if I choose for you. I'm the one that when we go to Disney, I'm the one with the clipboard. I know which fast pass to get, and I know which way we're going to. Just trust me, start marching like little chicks behind me. Let's go. In-laws, you too. Here come the Bembrys. Here come the Carvers. Here come the McCools. All my family's behind me. Just all start marching. I got it. And I'm having to learn. Oh, there's a parent needs to hear this. Now, I haven't perfected it. I'm learning it. I'm having to learn to trust the Holy Ghost with my children. I'm having to trust that God has them in his hands and that the same God that helped me when I was stupid, am I saying too much? Is the same God. Shoot, there's a witness on the third row. No one look at her right now, but someone got it on the third row. Don't look at her right now. The one in the red shirt. Don't look at the one in the red shirt laughing right. Don't look. She's anonymous, but I'm just saying I'm having to learn to trust God and say, Lord, I can't fix every problem, but I know that you're the mender of the broken heart. I know that you are the Spirit that leads and guides into all truth. And when I was dumb and young and making all, you brought me, I was going this way and you pulled me this way. And God, if you did it for me, then I trust my children in your hands. I know that I can rest in this. I know I can have confidence in this. And this leads me to where I want to get to. Because to do that, I have to have the peace of the Holy Ghost. The Lord spoke to me 2-3 weeks ago in Tampa, Florida. And he said, speak to my people and remind them that before I came as fire on the day of Pentecost, I appeared to them as a dove at the baptism of Jesus. Before I was ever fire, I was a dove. And the dove means peace. To trust the Holy Spirit means to live in peace. And I'm just telling you what I think, what I feel the Lord told me. The Lord told me there are many Spirit-filled believers that need to have a revelation of the dove. They know the fire. They know the oil. They know the water. They know the quaking and the shaking. They know the hucking and a bucking. And we're not ever going to get rid of any of that. They know. Listen, we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for some church mothers that knew how to pray us through. And we didn't have much, but they had a little tambourine, and they'd come in with their little shout, and they'd come in with their little dancing. And I'm never going to get rid of that. I always bring a tambourine just in case they come back into style. I mean, I love my Pentecostal roots. I love the shout. But as much as he is fire, he is equally the dove. And we need a revelation of the peace that passes all understanding, because peace can only be found in trusting God. I've had to tell him, I trust you with my children. But, oh, is there a Kleenex box around here? I feel like maybe I used this example here before. I think I've only done it twice. But I feel, fight. You both are big. Because... bring me that Kleenex box again. Just hold it there for a minute. Because this is how I've brought. Isn't it better when you just use yourself as an example rather than feel like I'm attacking? This is how I feel I've come to the Lord. You be the Lord. You're bigger. Where's the other big guy? Come hold my mic. I don't want any big guys mad at me, so just... still got PTSD from last night, so I think I got my passport here if you need it. A lot of people bringing, this is your children, your marriage, your money, your whatever. And they're bringing it to the Lord. Oh God, I trust you with this. Take care of this. God, deal with this. And God, I need you. God, I give you all the symptoms. All, take my tears, take my sorrow, take my depression. God, do this. God, do that. God, do that. And we're giving them all the symptoms, but then we're still carrying the problem. Because we trust him with wiping away our tear, but we don't really know. But I want to come to the place where I say, Lord, I don't just trust you with my tissues. I don't just trust you with my boo-hoo and my sobbing moment. But, Lord, I trust you with this. I give it to you. I rest in you, Holy Spirit, that you know you're the Spirit of truth. You know the way I should go. You know the protection I need. Lord, I don't just trust you with my mess. I trust you with everything in my life. Someone praise the Lord today. And see what happens when you give it to the Lord. He'll clean up the mess. My God, we didn't even practice. 9 a.m. didn't get this. They had a bad attitude. They didn't even get this. Thank you. Because that's exactly what the Holy Ghost will do. It won't just clean up the mess. It'll remove the evidence. It doesn't look like anything. There was a mess here 30 seconds ago. But when the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost shows up, it'll be like it was never there before. I want to prophesy to someone that when the Holy Ghost gets done with you, he'll restore to you the years that the canker worm ate away. Hallelujah. God's about to heal you, deliver you, set you free, and it'll be like it never happened to you. Because the Holy Ghost, run up here, brother, again. You know.
We'll work on this one this time. Because the Holy Ghost didn't come just to sympathize with you. See, a lot of people, well, I said a lot of people. See, I hate when preachers do that. But it's too late. I already did it. A lot of people just want a Pentecostal pity party. Oh, you poor thing. Oh, tell me how to pray. You went through what? Oh, they just want sympathy. They don't want a solution. They want sympathy. We got the knot out of this shoulder in the first service. We're working on this one now. My man's been carrying a lot right here. Hallelujah. Most people just want a pat on the back. Oh, you poor. Oh, you. How did you ever survive? Oh, my God. This is what. But the Holy Ghost. Oh, they're getting our picture here. Did I do okay on that? I don't know. I feel like here. Look spiritual for a moment. Just, you know. Amen. I don't know how spiritual you looked, but I looked. I looked like I was in the immigration facility again. Amen. But a lot of people they just want a good old Pentecostal back rub. Some of you were raised in this enough that you know you'd come to the altar call and there was always that person come. How you doing? And here come the back rubs. And oh, can I pray for you? Oh. They didn't even pray, just I believe the church has good insurance. You can check about it. Maybe I get some new glasses out of it or something right there. But some people just want a back rub. The Holy Ghost didn't come to sympathize with you. He came to strengthen you, empower you, heal you, deliver you, change you forevermore. Don't come up here and just from God, get a life-changing, life-encountering experience that'll not only set you free, but set your bloodline free and break every generational curse that was ever there before. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Come on, somebody praise the Lord for the Holy Ghost. So he doesn't just sympathize. He strengthens, he speaks, and he lifts. He lifts you up out of what you were in. He brings peace that passes all understanding. Joy in sorrow and clarity in confusion. When grief grips your heart or life feels like it's out of control, the Comforter knows how to settle your spirit. He brings peace. He doesn't just give you chills. He gives you rest. He doesn't just bring you revival. He brings you healing. That's why I can boldly tell you, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost in your life. I told you that earlier this year I was at Ima's home. We were actually there about a week after you all had been there. And Pastor Jim has done such a wonderful, beautiful job. Brother, would you open that water for me? Because I'll like get it all over me if I... Thank you. How's your glasses? Oh, praise God. Okay, you keep the top. It's a souvenir. It's from the sermon. Just put it in your memory box. Or in the lawsuit. Either way, just keep it there. Pastor Jim, Pastor Nancy, or Papa Jim, Mama Nancy, as they call him there. It's amazing to see how they've saved these kids and brought them to a place. And they've spent so much time just bringing stability. And Pastor Jim called myself and two of our friends, our mutual friends, they're friends with your pastor as well, Pastor Daryl Hooper, Pastor George Hancock. And he said, it's time to introduce these children to Pentecost. He said, these kids need the Holy Ghost. He said, we want you to come and let's have a crusade. Well, we get there and you're standing in front of children, you're amongst young people and children that have no Pentecostal pedigree. See, there's some things I do in this room and you know how to respond because it's the nature of the atmosphere. You know that if I tune up right now, okay, you know what tune up means. The ones that need to know. If I tune up right now and I start stomping and I start talking, you know what you're supposed to do.
You see?
When I get into the glory to God and I start doing, you know what to do. Those kids don't. They're like, oh my God, horror movie. They don't know. Why is he screaming? So to bring the message to them, what God's going to do, and there's no context. So at dinner the night before, the Hancocks, the Hoopers, the Suarez were having dinner together, and we just start talking amongst each other. What are we going to do? What is this going to be like? We don't know. You know, it's easy to have church with people that know how to have church. And we just came to the conclusion, if this is real, and if this is for all flesh, then the same God that baptized the upper room with the Holy Ghost will baptize Imus home with the Holy Ghost. If this is real, if this is true, ladies and gentlemen, that's the same thing I have to say to you. If you're doubting this, if you're unsure of this, if you're studying this out, if you say, I need a little more time, I respect where you are in your journey with Christ, and I'll just simply say it to you. If this is true, if the prophecy is true, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. If that prophecy is true, then I believe that the same God that filled the upper room is the same God that's going to fill your life. The same God that filled me is the God that's going to fill you. And so we came to that conclusion. We said, Holy Spirit, fill these children and let them know your power. That was the prayer at the altar. Oh God, if this is for everyone, fill this house and fill these children with your spirit. And with no Pentecostal context, hands started trembling. Smiles started showing up on faces that never smile. Children were so overwhelmed by the power of God that their knees buckled and they fell to their knees. Some were slain in the spirit, and almost all of them began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them the utterance. We didn't have a class on how to speak on the Holy Ghost. We didn't say, you go, yeah, 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 ta, ta, ta. We didn't have to do any of that. The Holy Ghost was ever present. The Holy Ghost was there, and the Holy Ghost proved himself real as he began to fill those children with the power of Pentecost. And to these broken children that have lived through hell on earth, what they really needed in that moment wasn't the fire. They needed the dove. And I'm here to report to you, the dove showed up in the Philippines. The dove showed up at Ima's home. And I watched as children began to worship the Lord. And they began to leap. And they began to wave. And they began to smile. And they began to laugh. And Brother Jim and Sister Nancy just started. They said, I've never seen that one be so happy. I've never seen that one look so happy. How could it be? It was because of the Holy Ghost. How could that be? Because of the Holy Ghost. And I bring you glad tidings. I bring you good news today. If God could do that with an abandoned child in the Manila, Philippines, God can do it for you. He can do it with your situation. But it won't be by might. It won't be by power. It won't be by pedigree. And it won't be by intellect. But it will be by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The same Holy Ghost can do it for you. And like it was on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, the question was asked at Ima's home, what shall we do? And I'm proud to report to you that 77 of those children and teenagers, they had just built a brand new, beautiful pool for the kids to swim in. I want you to know that the very first thing that ever happened in that pool was 77 young people were water baptized for the remission of their sins. And they came out of the water
like that, and they came out smiling. How can that be? It's the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Holy Ghost. I bring you good news today. The Holy Ghost will do the same for you. I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know what condition you're in, but the Holy Ghost wants to bring you out of it. The Holy Ghost wants to stabilize you. Well, I don't know if I need it. Oh, you need it. Musicians, come. I'm coming to a close. I'm going to land this airplane quicker than American landed me last night here. My God. Got my immigration PTSD, and they have it circling in the skies between Miami and Richmond. And when I came out of the Holy Ghost and I was in the flesh, I thought, oh, no, immigration is going to catch me in the air. I'm not preaching to you today about simply getting a touch. A touch in itself isn't enough. You need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's a woman, I believe the scripture said, blessed amongst women, a virgin named Mary, who was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And as she was overshadowed, she gave birth to our Lord and Savior. But it was not enough to be overshadowed. For when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the same Mary that was overshadowed in Luke 1:35 is the same Mary that went to the upper room in Acts 1:14. And in doing so, said to us, I don't want him to just overshadow me. I want him to fill me. In the book of John, chapter 20, Jesus breathed over the disciples. But they were the ones that led the revival in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and 2, showing that it's not enough for it just to come over you. It has to fill you. I want the Holy Ghost to fill you today. I'm not talking about a momentary blessing. I'm not talking about just a touch or a tickle of your emotions. I'm talking about the indwelling, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of you. The same Jesus. Pastor told me you're on the road to recovery, but the same Jesus that spoke a word over Bartimaeus, over Lazarus, is the same Holy Spirit that speaks over the neck and the back and the vertebrae and anything fused or infused in between and says, I'll do it quicker than what the doctor says. It's that same Holy Spirit. It's that same Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't just visit us on Revival Sunday or Summer Revival. He dwells with us every day. And in an unstable world, what we need right now is the peace that passes all understanding. Imagine me. Isn't that just the way life is? I'm up. I just come through immigration. I finally get on my plane to come to Richmond. And I'm still in a woe is me spirit. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. They're picking on me. They're profiling me. I'm a call. Wavy five and get him on my side. Tell this story. And I'm up there I'm just building up my emotions. And then I land in Richmond last night and open up Twitter and find out we've bombed Iran. And I go on Twitter and you got some that are saying, bomb them some more. Then you got others. Oh my God, there's bombs. World War III. This is it. It's over. And what you do find consistent on both sides is that there's chaos and confusion for those that are not led by the Spirit. For if you have one of these, you would not be worried about any bombing in Iran, because everything we're living through has already been written on these pages. put your CNN down, put your Fox down, put your whatever else, your QAnon or whatever, your pundit, your gateway, put it all down and pick up Revelation and pick up Daniel and pick up Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll find out it was already foretold. And I believe Matthew 24 says that when you hear of rumor of wars and rumors of war, fear not. Do I have any fear? No, I have no fear, because the Holy Ghost is with me. The Holy Ghost is comforting me. The Holy Ghost is in here. And before it gets real bad, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have a one-way ticket out of this, and we'll be on streets of gold in the presence of our Lord and Savior. So am I worried? I'm not worried one bit. The Holy Ghost is in control. Yeah, but preacher, not all those people making the decisions have the Holy Ghost. But I have the Holy Ghost. And more importantly than me having the Holy Ghost has me. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost has you. He'll protect you. He'll guide you. Fear not. My son called me from California. Dad, I'm scared. I said, you have nothing to be scared about. The Holy Ghost is with us. Would you stand with me in this house? Feel him here right now. Feel him here. Hallelujah. You know, these summer revival services, these last few years have been marked by many, many, many water baptisms. And I'm aware that there's at least one that's being baptized today. If you've never been water baptized, or if the Lord is calling on your spirit to be rebaptized, we will gladly baptize you today or next week. But even as I stand here, I feel that this summer revival might be marked by a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You need it, ladies and gentlemen. You need a fresh touch. You need to come to the fountain daily and drink from this fountain. Don't you get caught up in the religious trap of just having a Holy Ghost birthday and thinking that's the end all to that. That was the beginning, but it wasn't the end. I have to come daily to the fountain and say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. God, I need you in my decision making. I need you in my family. I need you right now. So that's my altar call today. If you need the dove, if you need peace, then when I count to three, I want you to come and join me today. There's some things that you're going to bring to the altar today that I'm asking you, don't just give the Lord the symptoms. Give him the thing. Give him the children. Give him the marriage. Give him the money. Give it to him. Because when he's in charge, you can rest. I don't know if I'll preach about rest next week or not, because that's the other thing God's been dealing with me about. Resting in him. I gave something to the Lord 3 weeks ago in prayer. God, I can't handle this. You take it. And then just while I was in Trinidad, I was praying about the same thing, and I felt the Lord just say, now, do you trust me with it or not? Because you said you gave it to me, but you're still kind of clinging like it's in your hands, not my hands. I said, you're right, Lord. He said, trust me. I'm at work. If that's you today and you say, I just got to put it in the hands of Jesus. Maybe it's the purchase of a home or a purchase of a vehicle, or maybe it's even bigger than that. But I just have to trust the Lord. When I count to three, I'm waiting for you in this altar. One, two, two and a half, three. Come now, come now, come now. As they're coming, let's sing that part.
Something comes.
baptism. Father, I pray for the one that's confronting a court case, a legal situation, and there's more fear than there is peace. I pray that the dove, hallelujah, I pray the dove would show up. To the one battling a health condition or a health scare, or to the one that's even desirous of this or that when it comes to their health, I pray that the dove would show up and just let them know he's in charge. He's in charge. We're about to baptize this beautiful young lady, but if there's someone else, we're about to baptize her. I'll come right to you, Pastor Buddy, but if there's someone else that says, preacher, God's calling, I need to be in that water, I need to be baptized today. If that's you, if you'd raise your hand, somebody's going to, if there's anyone else, you just make your way. And if not, we'll do it next week. But let's rejoice with this sister who's about to have an encounter with the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Before I baptized Sarah, I asked her permission to share this with you. And I thought it would be good for you to know. This is Sarah, and she is from next door at Millie's. She is a new resident this week. This is her first Sunday at Life Church, and God is doing a beautiful work. Isn't this beautiful? Amen. Sarah Lane, by the profession of your faith and in obedience to the word of God, I now baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.
Father, I pray that in this season we would be known by our peace, would be known by our trust in you. May it be so undeniable that it would even be a witness tool. Someone would come and say, how can you be so peaceful? How can you be so nonchalant? And you'll say, it's because I got the dove. I got the dove. The dove abides in me, resides in me. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. I come against all anxiety, fret, and fear. Peace. Peace. I come against trauma, abuse, fear, PTSD. Peace be upon thee. to the over-worrier, to the over-anxious, to the one that can't ever just let go and let someone else be in charge. Peace. 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 Peace be with thee and also with you. Peace in your marriage. Peace in your children. Peace in your finances. Peace in your business. Peace in your money. Peace in your investments. Peace in this church. May this church be known for peace. Hallelujah. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and our enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and spirits. We don't fight amongst each other. We fight against principalities. But when the wounded and the weary, when the derelict and the depressed and the downtrodden, when they come seeking help, and they walk through the doors of this house, may it be noted that they say, it's like I found peace. And I pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All God's children said, would you help me praise the Lamb, the Lion, and the Dove? Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just close your eyes, lift your hands for a moment. Do you feel that? That's the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And while you have those hands raised, just picture in your mind that you're surrendered right now to that peace. I'm pushing my fear away with your peace. I'm pushing my anxiety away with your peace. I'm pushing the dread away with your peace, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just let him wash over you for a moment right now. Come on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Why don't we just worship him one last time? Can we do that? Can you open your mouth and give him a praise? Father, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for comfort and peace. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. There's nothing like having the peace of the Lord, amen. It's the foundation of your trust. It's the foundation of faith. It's the foundation of confidence, amen. That's why you can walk with boldness and with authority, amen, and with optimism as a child of God, because we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, amen, and we know that the Lord knows the end from the beginning, and he orders our steps, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hey, thanks for watching. Be sure to subscribe to this channel so you never miss one of our videos or live streams in the future. Also, take a moment and share this with a friend. Be sure to join us 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. each week live as we celebrate Jesus together here at Life Church. God bless you.